QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6QNet. Control for the deck Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, offset of 600 kilohertz, and APL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. For more information on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, go to www.bbarc.org. And a lot of good stuff there about the club, and a lot of applications there. Fill out if you want to join. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, the gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for that? Please call KF6Q. Okay, one announcement I have is this upcoming Saturday, a few days from now, is the monthly Big Bear Amateur Radio Club meeting. Tech hour starts at 5:30. We will discuss field day postmortem, as they call it. And then at 6:30, we have our general meeting. And we do have a guest speaker from Land Ops who's going to talk about all of what they do. So anyway, see you there this Saturday. It's at the Big Bear Lake Fire Station, starting 5:30 with the tech hour and 6:30 with our general meeting with a guest speaker. Alrighty, well, topic of the evening is we're going to still pull a little bit more off the June issue. And pretty cool articles, a couple articles here, and the doctor is in, one of them about how you feed, and a little bit more about J-poles. We all know we use J-poles, and a little bit more about that. Some pretty other cool articles in here, very neat piece of equipment, equipment review of Elecrafts Cat 500 automatic antenna tuner, which is also available as a kit. And there's K6BB repeater for ID. So, anyway, let's get started. But first, our refroster, some of our regular members here. Starting with WB6CLZ, Mike in Placentia.
Pretty regular.
Hey, Tom.
K6Q, WB6CLZ. Good evening, Tom. Good evening, everyone on the net.
Hey, Mike, glad to have you out there. If you're not regular, you have that potion you can take for that. Anyway, we're not going to go there. How about WB6CIN Cindy that brought those excellent cookies and orange juice to field day?
Thanks, Tom. This is WB6CIN. I had such a great time at field day. Thank you very much.
Good deal, Cindy. Glad to see you and Mike come out. This year was really great. All right, next I have KA6CIA George.
Evening, Tom. K6CIA, Lucerne Valley.
And good evening there, George. Glad to have you with us. Hopefully you're staying cool down there. My list here, I have KJ68CS Mike. Nothing heard there from Mike. How about WA6IATC Rod? How about, and I missed him last week, not going to do it twice in a row. How about KJ6FIL Mike from Redlands?
Howdy, howdy, KJ6FIL.
And good evening there, Mike. Glad to have you out there. All right, let's see here. Moving on down here, I have W6GZI, Frank. He's in and out of there. How about KI6IQA Kelly?
Sir, yes, sir. Can
an adventure if you're interested, but I'll get with you on that later. Next I have K9AOG, Steven, from Long Beach. Nothing out there for Steven. How about K6GVL, Ron from Green Valley? No Ron from Green Valley. How about AD6PL, Harold in Riverside?
Evening, AD6PL.
There you are, Harold. Thanks for being out there and checking in this evening. Appreciate that. Let's see. Next, I have KJ6PYV, Dave, my right-hand man out there at field day.
Thanks, Tom. KJ6PYV, checking in from Sugarloaf.
Not a problem there, Dave. Thanks. Like I say, thanks again. Appreciate all that. All the help. Let's see. I got W6JLM Judith and W6KMM Ken, if they're listening.
Good evening, Tom, and everyone on the net. This is W6KMM, and right next door to me is W6JLM, so check it both in, and everybody have a good evening.
Good deal there, Ken. My barbecue buddy, there you go. Appreciate all the help you and Judith did out there with the barbecue stuff, and of course, always had the help of KJ6BCL this year, too, so... All right, moving on down the list to K2BBO Allen from Moonridge. And yeah, nothing out there from Allen. How about K6YNW, Chris?
Good evening, Tom and Annette. By the way, do you maybe remember a good guy, N6CHR? Miss the guy. Anyway, good evening, K6YNW.
Alrighty, Chris, thanks for being out there. Thanks for that information there. So, anyway, W6POO has moved. He's up in Idlewild, and until he gets all his gear up, he informed me that he can't hit the repeater from there. So he's going to have to try to check in on Echolink, and right now I don't think he's even got that going. So we'll give him a courtesy check-in this evening and move on down to, let's see if we got KD6LAN Bill. Yeah, nothing heard from Bill. How about Ron, WA6HF from Big Bear City?
Hey, Tom, good evening. How's everything going out there? WA6HF.
And good evening there, Ron. Glad to hear you out there. Everything's going as good as it can. Yeah, boy, one day it's chilly, next day it's hot. I don't know about this weather. Thanks for being out there, Ron. All right, let's see if we have KJ6QYN, Shelley, Apple Valley. Okay, don't hear Shelley out there. How about NQ7RD, Rick, from Corona or Cerritos, one of the two. No Rick this evening yet. Okay, well, maybe later on. Ah, here comes my left-hand man, AE6CK, Victor.
Good evening, Tom and Zanet, Victor Santa Fe Springs.
Victor, good to hear you out there. Thank you so much for all you did out there this weekend, and especially all the CW stuff you and Leon did. Good to see him out there. Hopefully he can come back each year. That was fantastic. Good team you have there, so thanks for all the help, Victor. All right, moving on down to KA6ROD Rod. Let's see if he's in town. All right, nothing heard there from Rod. How about W6JET Rod?
Time in the net, W6JET.
And good evening there, Rob. Wow, good deal. Too bad you're not up here. We're having a heat wave. It's getting up in the 80s. Hi. All right. How about KJ6RAY? Let's see if he's out there. All right, nothing out there from Ray. That is pretty much the list. However, I do have a guest in town, and it's Bob. Let's see if he's out there listening. WA6MQF, Bob. All right, well, I know he's out there. Maybe Mike, you can give him a telephone call. I know he was going to try to remember. All right, that pretty much is our list here of the regulars. Anybody else that would like to check in as a guest this evening, please come back to KF6Q. Sure.
KF6KNJ.
KF6KNJ. Wow, Bob, glad to have you out there. I really appreciate you checking in. Thanks for being with us this evening. Anybody else who would like to check in as a guest this evening?
Sorry about that. I missed you earlier, I guess. You'll probably check in Yomar. She's here too, but she's busy on the machine, computer, as usual. KI6OHI. Thank you, Tom.
Well, by golly, we'll check in Yomar also, KI6OHI, and glad to have you both out there with the radio on. That's good. Watch out for that computer. Yeah, it'll suck you in there after a while. All right, anybody else who would like to check in as a guest?
KJ6WIT and KJ6WFG.
Wow, I think that is Reinhardt and Margaret, if I'm not correct. I should be correct. I just saw Reinhardt last night. Reinhardt, I hope you're feeling better after your surgery. And I know you wanted to be out there the field day, but, you know, that was kind of a limiting factor, so maybe we'll have you out there next year. Thanks for being out there. Anybody else like to check in as a guest?
KE6RJ with a question.
KE6RJ, Harry, glad to have you out there. Go ahead.
Can you repeat who is going to be the guest speaker Saturday at the meeting? KE6RJ, thank you.
Harry, and I need to get your shooter back to you, and need to hook up with you here in the next day or so. His name is Chris, and he's the head of a group called LandOps. They basically schedule operations. They've used our repeater a few times. They're actually interested in joining our club, becoming members, and they basically work with people on training off-road conditions, not military of any sort, just pretty much but survival and working with GPS coordinates and stuff like that, and radio. So pretty neat. They've been out in Johnson Valley. They've been in Holcomb Valley. They've been all over the mountain here. So, and they do a good job when they're using our repeater. So that'll be our guest speaker.
Good. Thank you. K6RJ.
Harry, and glad to have you out there. Sorry, I had skipped over your name, but good to hear you out there. Hopefully you can join us each Tuesday. Appreciate that. Anybody else out there would like to check in as a guest?
UA6, Mike Queen Fox.
All right, Bob, there you are, and hopefully Mike made that phone call. Good to hear you out there. Good to see you're doing better. Yeah, watch out for that blood sugar, and we don't want to see you going back into the ER there anyway. So good to have you up here, Bob. Appreciate that. Anybody else out there like to check in as a guest? All right, well, I think that's pretty much got a good group going this evening. And anyway, Mike, real quick here, I know you worked the 10 meters. You want to tell us a little bit about the 10-meter station that you were working out there at Field Day and all the exciting contacts that you and Tom made?
Well, Tom, WO6B, made the exciting contacts. I just made the run-of-the-mill stuff, which was few and far between, and pickings were slim on 10 meters. Although, we were using a four-element beam. I believe it was four. I never really looked up at it. I just kept turning around to different areas. So I think it was a four. Correct me if I'm wrong. It may have been a five. Yagi for 10 meters. And we had it up on a pole tied to a tree. We had the famous Armstrong rotator, which is in that instance a strong hand rotator, probably up about, I don't know, two TV masts. Is that 15 feet? I'm not sure, maybe 20 feet, but it's not up very high. Of course, we were up around over 7,000 feet with a pretty good lookout, so that was okay. Tom had worked a station in New Zealand. We kind of heard him in there, swung the beam around, and by golly, there he was. I had worked a couple, and then Tom worked a station in Hawaii. Following that, I worked a station in Hawaii, which was pretty exciting for 10 meters. And then just here and there, hither and yon, it was kind of, like I say, slim pickings. I think we only made, at the most, maybe 20 contacts. Not really sure if it was that many, but yeah, 10 was not really open. But usually late in the afternoon, we get either trans-equatorial action or little action into the Pacific, which was really cool. Okay, and that's about it. I think you've got it set to where this doesn't drop out, but I'm going to kick it back to you anyway, Tom. KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, WB6CLZ.
Well, thanks there, Mike. Yeah, KF6Q here, Tech Tuesday in the group. Yeah, KN6VR, Jeff, club member, is also out there, and he was working 10 earlier on in the day, or trying to anyway. He did come back out Sunday morning early, and 10 did pick up for a little while there, and then it just kind of dropped off. But yeah, New Zealand and Hawaii, that's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome for 10. And hey, thanks for all the help you did out there. Appreciate that. So, very good. All right. Well, anyway, yeah, we're not supposed to be able to have any dropout problem here with this, if that's all set as it is. Yeah, this week, in Tech Tuesday, page 54, still in the June issue of QST, got a pretty good thing here on J-Poles, real quick and brief, but, you know, this is a common question I've heard many times over, and let me just reset to give my thumb a rest. There you go. Okay. Got to do that once in a while just for that reason. Yeah, and a lot, you know, we've done J-Poles with our antenna workshops, and I think we will be having a workshop coming up for all of those who are interested. We'll be building some antenna launchers. A couple of different styles and types, and what we have in mind is to basically get all the stuff together. More than welcome to have some people come out and help put them together. If you want to take one home, reimburse us for the parts. That's it. Nothing else, nothing more. And other than that, the items will probably stay as property of the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club if somebody doesn't actually take one home that way. So anyway, good deal. Give my thumb a break here again.
Meter report.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
This is Bob, WA6MQF. You were talking about propagation, and I thought I would add this. The last couple of days, late in the afternoon, there have been 6-meter openings. I worked the Midwest and the East Coast yesterday, and again, several stations in Texas today on 6 meters. That's all. Just FYI, WA6MQF.
Oh, good deal there, Bob. Yeah, we usually do a DX report here, and because the DX has been so bad, we've minimized it down. But thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, I was with you when you were working that one guy in Texas today. I think that's where he was. Is that correct, Texas?
Yep, that was him, and I've heard some 7s and some 5s right now. It seems to be right at the end of the day that the band comes up, the last few days. Over.
Oh, well, very good, very good. Yeah, so that's, I don't want everybody running over to the 6 meters right now. It'll actually pick up the best right after Tech Tuesday. Anyway, well, good deal. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate that. Anyway, getting into, this is called The Doctor Is In. This is a column that's in QST Magazine every month. And the column is by Joel Hallis, call sign W1ZR. And you can email this guy at W1ZR@ARRL.org. Just like a lot of us who have emails at the ARRL. This question is from Paul. K1WVSX. And Mike, have you got that handy? You want to read off his question?
Tom, will do. And thanks for the 6 meter opening report, Bob. That's cool. This is the 6 meter season, by the way, early to midsummer. And yeah, cool. Anyway, Paul K1WVX asks, J-pole antenna designs often show the center conductor of the coax connected to the quarter wave matching section rather than to the three-quarter wave radiated section. Wouldn't the operation be more efficient if the transmitter power were coupled directly to the radiating section? Go ahead, Tom, and kick it back to me when you get tired.
You know, this is one thing that a lot of people have asked, and they're not too sure about this, and we're just going to do we're going to read through his answer, but also just a little bit of clarification. When you see that J-pole there, you see the little tiny element, and you see the big element, you say, okay, well, the big element's doing all the work, and that is correct, but a lot of people don't understand what the small element is actually doing. The small element and the adjacent part of the big element are actually a team. That bottom U of the J is actually a team, and that's called a quarter wave matching section. And the way that works is that it doesn't really matter with this RF energy which goes to which. Both of them are like a tuning fork. If you look at that bottom end of the J and picture it as a tuning fork, all right, you're probably going to understand this a little bit better. That quarter wave section resonates and then end feeds the little top section that's sticking up there all by itself. So yeah, that top section really could be either side, and it actually could be on both sides if they would make a 90 and go apart from each other. That would work also. But anyway, RF is weird stuff, and essentially when we feed that little tuning fork section with our coax, the reason they actually put the center conductor to the small element and the shield to the larger one, not that it matters, but the shield actually is grounded. Remember, this is coax, so everything on the coax side is grounded somewhere. And with that said, the bigger section sticking up there, should it develop static electricity, God forbid, lightning, I'm not sure if it would matter with that. But static discharge or anything like that on that bigger element will go straight to ground. The RF energy will still be there and it'll still work. So it helps protect our radios. Mike, you want to go through there and just, he has a little bit of an explanation of how it originated in the first part of his answer. I'm going to hand that back to you. This is KF6Q, Tech Tuesday in the group. Hand it over to WB6CLZ.
Well, I know you have an affinity for NFED ZEPs. I just happen to know that. And so this antenna is akin to the antenna used on Zeppelin airships back in the 30s. And they were called NFED HF ZEPs. And they used to trail those wires behind the Zeppelin. Very similar antenna to the little J-pole antenna. It goes back to the 1930s when they used to use those on the airships. I wonder if the Hindenburg had one. Back to you, Tom.
Okay, KF6Q Tech Tuesday in the group for ID here. Every Tuesday that we can. Well, yeah, I think the Hindenburg did right up just before it landed. Yeah, that's actually the NFED Zeppelin, because of it was on a Zeppelin, is how it, like you say, it got its name. And, of course, just bigger. It was an HF antenna, so it was much bigger for the HF bands. The lower the frequency, the bigger the antenna. So, rule of thumb. But anyway, of course, they didn't use coax back then, and they didn't have this and didn't have that. But anyway, they used to come right into the bottom of the J. And sometimes you will see certain J-pole build-it-yourself DIY plans will kind of show that. It's kind of weird. It's kind of a carryover from this. But what we like to do is bring our feed point in a little bit up from the bottom. And by doing that, we can match to that antenna perfectly 50-ohm coax. NFED is usually pretty high impedance, up in the thousands of ohms. And 50 and 1,000, that's two different, big difference of a number. So Anyway, by matching up a little bit on that J coming up from the bottom, it's kind of like a little slider. We can pick the right spot and get it bingo right on the money. So anyway, with that said, Mike, I think we did these at your workshop over there we had at your house, and we were able to tune them up like right on the money. So, and Mike, why is it important to try to match these things anyway? Who cares?
You know, on a solid-state radios like we have, if it's not matched, your radio will hold back. In other words, reduce power. So if it is not matched, you could possibly get a high SWR and cause your radio to, it was bad enough, even shut down. And as I recall from the workshop, too, that adjustment with the little slider is very critical. I know we played with it, and if you didn't just cinch it down right in the right place, tapped it a little bit, it could get off. So very, very critical. And also common practice to choke off your common mode current going back into your radio. Use a few ferrite beads on that too. It says here a little more at HF, but I've never used a ZEP on HF, so not really sure. Hey, back to you, Tom.
Yeah, and actually to choke off that, what they call backfeed current, just to, as a safety precaution, typically the best thing to do is take your coax and do about maybe half a dozen loops or thereabouts, not real critical, and in about a, well, maybe about a 1 foot diameter loop, you know, a coil, put a little zip tie on it, that does wonders, basically acting as a choke ballon, just to kind of keep any stray RF currents from coming down the outside of the shield, possibly back into the shack. You don't want that. But and other than that, that's pretty much it. So pretty good Q&A. This is really a very good area of QST, though I'm sure there's a lot of different articles in here that, you know, don't apply to all of us, but quite often there are things in here that do. And you might find something there, answer some questions that you had. And, of course, there's always the option of writing into him and emailing him, get your question answered. Give my thumb a break here for a second. Anyway, so I guess if there's any, we'll just see if there's any questions or comments out there on this. Always pretty appreciate that, and we'll leave it open for that just for a few moments here. Any questions or comments on this topic, please come back to KF6Q. Check Tuesday in the group. All right. Guess we don't have any right there, Mike. I did forget one announcement I did want to make this evening, and this is something that I just found out, that if you're know anybody who's taken a ham test lately, used to be about a week to get your call sign. That delay has escalated to over 4 weeks, and what has happened as of April 1st, and this is just information I got just recently, last night as a matter of fact, from what I understand, the FCC has turned over the call sign issuance task and processing to QRZ. Now, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but that's what I got that from an announcement. Probably was some time ago, and they actually did this at April 1st this year, from budget cutbacks from the government. So the FCC, not having enough money as everybody else, has now relinquished this task to QRZ. Seems like they're a little bit overflowing with that. At least that was the answer I got. So if you know anybody who's waiting for their call sign, so we did have somebody who's out there about ready to get his, I think. It's been about 4 weeks. Yes, it's going to take some time, but hey, always well worth the wait. Mike, any other comments this evening?
No, Tom, you caught me off guard because my lamb was ringing. No, actually, let's see, other than if we're going to do the... If we're gonna do the Elecraft sooner, maybe we should sashay into that, and we'll go there. Otherwise, back to you, Tom. Sorry about that.
Yes, Harold, go ahead.
Right, a friend of mine did a renewal about a month ago now, and his renewal went through in just a matter of a couple of days. 86 PL.
Yeah, from what I understand, renewals or upgrades are going through quicker and without an issue because there's no new license to be had. But if you're a brand new ham trying to get a call sign, you got to be patient. And that's where this is applying, basically to brand new hams. And it's unfortunate. Hopefully they get that worked out. But thanks for that information. And anyway, Mike, if you've got some time, just a real quick mention here of Elecraft, KAT500, it's an automatic antenna tuner. Kind of neat, pretty deluxe. Frequency range 1.8 to 54 megahertz continuous. And runs on your basic supply like you have, portable or in the shack with power supply. But yeah, really, really good tuner. Comes two different ways, pre-assembled for almost $700. As we all know, Elecraft stuff is not cheap, but it's good stuff most of the time. And if it isn't working right, they have warranties, right, Mike? Right. Anyway, or you can get it as a kit, and this is a solderless kit. So basically, they only drop about $50 off of the price. And you're going to put some of the things together yourself, but, you can always save $50, but really nice, a little bit on the dark side, but anyway, pretty nice from Elecraft, and it does actually interface really good with all the rest of the Elecraft gear, which it should. Any comments on that, Mike? Go ahead.
I heard the jab about warranty. Anyway, my little KX3 has an issue, so but they are coming in under warranty, and it is out of warranty by about 6 or 7 weeks. So yeah, they're a good company. They've taken care of me more than once. This is quite a nice antenna tuner. It is the companion to the KPA500, which is a 500 watt amplifier. Everybody tells me that they can squeeze up to 700 out of them sometimes. So they're underrated a little bit. It will tune at 1,000 watts. It'll tune 3:1 SWR. And at the 500 watts, as my knowledge is, I think it's 1.8:1. And usually you can stretch that to 1.10:1. So, I mean, they tune a pretty bad mismatch. And the good thing about antenna tuners is even if you've got a perfect or nearly perfect antenna, they're always good to just kind of get it right on the gnat's patootie. The K3, which is the transceiver that these antenna tuners and amplifier is really made for. They call it the K line, similar to the S line of Collins back in the day. Very cool. It hooks all up together, and it has the K3 has a similar antenna tuner, only rated for 100 watts. And basically, no matter what antenna I'm on, I run it through it. There's not that much loss in it, and it will just kind of tune it up so you don't have any fallback and you know it's right. Let's see. Has a tune button, approximately 20 watts of carrier. You can tune the thing, and they're usually pretty quick. Back to you, Tom, and we'll get into this a little more.
Okay, and tuners are, like I say, always a good thing. If you're running a vertical or a dipole of some sort, it's not going to act perfect at all the different frequencies, and especially if you're using one antenna for many bands, it definitely is not going to work perfect for all that. So the tuner is always a critical thing there. I know on field day we try to keep designated antennas with designated bands and actually get away from the tuner by getting a really good match. Dipoles are really great. Loops are the best. Loops have a really, really broad band match and delta loops, diamond loops, stuff like that. Even that 40-meter dipole we did use was pretty good over the 40-meter section that we were using. Pretty close to 1:1. I think it got worse with like 1.2:1. And that's great. But if you're going to use your antenna for many, many different bands and frequencies, which we do, at our houses, we're usually limited by real estate or ambition or all or none of the above, basically, or the ability to even mount something up there in the air. We might have quite a few limitations there. So with that, that all said, the tuner is going to make up that difference and make everything happy. So, anyway, good, very good deal there, Mike. Real quick, anybody, any questions or comments real quick before we get ready to close the net? I know, Mike, you do have to get to work, so we're going to have to close this down a little earlier, but comments and questions, please come back to KF6Q, Tech Tuesday in the group.
WA6MQF.
Ah, Bob, the guy who's about to be published in QST. Boy, you know we're going to pick on your article when it comes out here in a month or two. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, just to reiterate what you said about tuners, the transistors are very low impedance devices, and the reason that is because they're low voltage, high current. And so slight impedance mismatches show up and are hard. And if you don't have a match or you have a partial match, then the energy that comes back down the line ends up back on the transistor. And that guy is not happy with reflected power. That's why the solid-state radios go to great lengths to minimize that amount of reflected power, and they use the AGC and the drive chain to reduce the drive to keep that reflected power to some predetermined minimum, because that's really what's going to kill the PA transistors in your radio. And so as far as the output goes, you know, if you've got no reflected power or 10 or 20 watts reflected power out of 100, the transmitted signal will not change that much as far as signal strength. But what you're doing is protecting your radio. That's it, Tom. KF6Q, WA6MQF.
Well, good deal there, Bob. And also, just notice this. I know we were going to do this. We probably won't get a chance to do this as we're going to move into the July issue here pretty quick. Normally, we would have already done that. Good EME article, June issue of QST, page 90, Moon over Clipperton. Anyway, pretty cool. We'll have to probably drop back on this one when your article is published. Anyway, any other questions or comments before we get ready to close the net? Come back to KF6Q, Tech Tuesday in the group.
W6GZ, you want to check me in there, Tom?
Well, there is Frank. Frank, good to hear you out there. Hope all went well over the weekend. I know you had some appointments, and I hope everything is good. And yes, got you checked in here, Frank. Good to hear you out there. Any comments?
One more, Tom.
Yeah, go ahead there, Mike.
I neglected to say that this tuner handles 11 bands from 160 to 6 meters. So, I mean, it handles all of the HF and bands that we have now. Pretty cool. It will work on Yaesu's. It'll work on ICOM. I think it'll work on Tentec. They have interfaces for just about all of the popular radios. So they are pricey, but these people stand behind, you know, what they do. They run their business the old-fashioned way, and they earn it. And I can't see enough good things about Eldercraft. Anyway, back to you, Tom, and thanks for doing Tech Tuesday. I'll hang in here for a few more minutes, and I got to boogie down towards Newport Beach. WB6CO.
Okay, Mike, well, thanks for all the help this evening, and as always, all the great information out there. And if anybody has a particular article you'd like for us to explore here, of course, you can always drop us an email or give us a shout out here on the radio. Preferably a little bit before 5 minutes to seven on Tuesdays, but that's good. And we'll dig some stuff up because we don't always have to follow the QSTs, and we used to follow actually a lot of other different things and topics, and like to vary around a little bit for some change. But hey, QST always has good stuff in it. So, and you will get yours if you're a member out there. Not a problem. You'll get it every month. I think for the $39 a year, cheaper if you join for more than 1 year. And the magazine itself is worth that, not to even count all the other things, great advantages of being a member of the ARRL. So, Anyway, last call for comments and questions.
86, Bill.
Yes, Harold, go ahead.
This isn't radio, but I heard about an hour ago weather forecast on KNX for the Inland Empire, and they include the mountains. Supposed to be over 100 Saturday and Sunday. They said 105 to 110 in the Inland Empire. So you might want to get your ice maker running better and get a credit card for the ice store down there where they sell water. 86 Bill.
Yeah, I know. That's the heat's hitting us up here today. Yesterday was pretty chilly, actually. Ran around here yesterday with sweatpants on because it was a little cool, wind blowing and all that. I guess it was kind of overcast down the hill. And then today, boy, did it warm up here. And this is just the beginning. So for us up here, if it gets into the mid to high 80s, ooh, we're having a heat spell. And 90s, we know we're going to have 90s up here. That is actually very warm for up here, which means it's really going to be hot down there. Yeah, everybody buckle up for the heat wave. Yeah, and this is what, just June. Whew. Anyway, all right. Well, thanks for the information, Harold. Appreciate that. Any other comments or questions?
You're using your radio up there and it gets that hot. You might, or down here, you might want to kind of keep an eye on it. Too much heat comes off of it, turn it off, let it cool down. 86 Bill.
Yeah, and actually to add to that, Harold, Jim, KJ6KDL, who's usually in here, he's been very, very busy lately, had his, what does he have, 29, I believe it's the Yaesu 2900, and probably fried the finals, not sure yet what's up with that, but just from that heat, very, very possible. It does happen a lot on radios. I know some of them have built-in fans. My 7800, the 7900, they actually have a little fan that kicks on automatically as you transmit and stays running for a while. But some of the other ones are just a heat sink. And I'll tell you what, if not enough air gets through there, you will cook the finals. So the best thing to do is make sure don't keep the mic heat down for a while. So good point. Thanks, Gerald. Appreciate that. Any other comments or questions?
Hey, 73 Tom, thanks for running the net. WA6HF.
Hey, Ron, glad to hear you out there and appreciate you checking in this evening. Always a pleasure to have you join us. And hopefully you'll be back here each week. So thanks again. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Harold, go ahead.
You might want to make a note of this and go online to the London Mail, their Science and Technology Variety. I saw an article about a new battery that they're making with a 3D printer. They said that it's smaller than a grain of sand and they can fly a drone the size of a gnat. So they're making some big advances in batteries now.
That was
quite interesting.
86 Bill. Yeah, I was heard some more about that from somebody else. Pretty awesome. And 3D printers, which I'll get back to you in a second. Let me close down Tech Tuesday here, as I think we're just about done with that. Mike, I know you got to disappear. Are you still out there? Okay, I think he's already gone. He had to take off. So, anyway, appreciate Mike joining me there, and we'll get Tech Tuesday put away here real quick. And let's see here, QST. Hey, that's the magazine we use. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net. We'll be closing the net at 1900 hours and 44 minutes, returning the repeater back to normal use. Would love to thank everybody out there for joining us, and all comments or questions or suggestions are welcome and appreciated here. And yeah, we always have a lot of good fun. Please join us again next Tuesday. So returning the repeater back to normal use, this is KF6Q.